大家好
，Good morning, everyone。
今天是我第一次在东出禅寺啊，跟就是礼拜天跟大众分享佛法。
So this is actually my first time to share Dharma teachings with everyone in this Chan Meditation Center on Sundays.
那我到东出禅寺从1988年到现在应该有几年了。
So I have been in this Chan Center since 1988, so how many years it had been?
是大概是28年哈，快30年。
Yeah, so it's 28 years, it's almost 30 years.
所以对我来讲是一个非常好的经验啊。
So, for me, it's a great experience.
那你们可以从头听到尾不走，也是对我一个鼓励。
So it'll be encouraging for me if you could stay through the whole lecture and not leave in the middle of it.
那有菩萨问我到底二入四行是什么啊？
So some people might ask me, what exactly is two entrance and four practice?
我说你礼拜天来听就晓得。
And I answered, well, why don't you just come on Sunday and I'll explain to you.
Okay. 那二入四行呢，我第一次看到是师父有一本书上提到，那我对他修行的方法很有兴趣。
So the first time I heard about this two entrances and four practice theory is when I read a book written by Shifu, and I was very interested in this theory.
那这次的跟大家的分享里头呢，我会把师父的这篇文章跟大家分享。
So during lecture, I will also share with everyone the article I mentioned written by Shifu.
在早期的 Chan Magazine 第二 volume number 7 Dan Stevenson 也帮师父翻译过二入四行的英文。
So that article I mentioned was published in early Chan Magazine volume 2 number 7. It was translated by Dan Stevenson.
所以呢这篇文章其实的法是非常丰富。
So actually, the content of this article is quite interesting, has a lot of information.
大家知道二入四行它是谁说的吗？
So, do you know who actually taught two entrances and four practices?
那是他在世的时候讲的吗？
Yeah, so,some people answer Bodhidharma, and that's correct. Do you know whether it was taught during his lifetime?
知道吗?
Do you know?
是他讲的没有错，可是呢，他在世的时候呢，他没有编出来。
Yes, that was correct. It was correct to say that he, you know, he originally taught this two entrance and four practice, but it was not published during his lifetime, or he didn't compile it.
当他过世一百多年以后呢，人家才把他汇集的这本，在这个叫做《菩提达摩大师略辩大圣入道四行观》，才有这个。
So, it was only after he passed away, 100 years after he passed away, his disciples actually organized and published this two entrance and four practice in a book.Called Master Bodhidharma's theory about the two entrance and the four practices.
那我这次三次的分享，我是先把二入四行这个大圣的四行观先跟大家类似导读介绍里头的内容啊，一行一行跟大家介绍。
So, for this three series of talks, I plan to first lead you through the text of the four practice and two entrance and four practice, just to give you an overall overview about what it is.
那再来，我就会介绍师父那篇让我很感动的修行的方法 及如何退魔的方法，我也会跟大家介绍。
Then I will deep dive in 师父's article about the two entrances and the four practices and share with you the part which motivated me most about how to deal with vexations or demonic states.
最后呢，就是怎么把二入四行用到日常生活上。
And last, I will talk about how to apply two entrances for practice theory into daily life.
Okay, 我先介绍菩提达摩。
But first of all, I would like to introduce, talk about Bodhidharma a little bit.
菩提达摩在中文的那个摩字有两个写法。
So, the name Bodhidharma, Bodhi, Mo in Chinese character, there's two ways to write it.
一个是石头的石啊，一个是手，看那个摩字啊。唐朝的时候是手的，到后来是石头。我是这样给他猜啊，因为大家知道菩提达摩最有名的是什么？闭关啊，哈啊，不是。不是那个去修行关在里头那个闭关，是对着墙壁的那个观想的观啊。
So in the beginning, the name of Bodhidharma in Chinese characters, the character of Mo, the part of it was the hand, the word of hand, part of the word of hand. But later it was translated, use another Mo, was written by part of a stone, you know, the stone, the character of stone was part of the character more. So my speculation was because Bodhidharma was, is particularly famous for his, you know, the legend of facing the wall. Maybe they changed it because of that.
大家知道他面壁墙几年吗？九年哈。那你们觉得他是有吃有喝吗？
So do you know how many years did Bodhidharma facing the wall? 9 years, yes, 9 years. So do you think he has food and water during that time? Did he eat a drink?
主要的闭关啊，是让你的心像墙壁，而不是说你真的就坐在前面啊，就是他的那个心是很直的那个。主要是这个，所以应该是有吃有喝，该要人该要做的事情，他大概都有。
So, you know, the real facing the wall is really about your mind. Your mind should be stable, unmoving, and like a wall. It's not, it's a metaphor, not really, you know, ask you to facing a wall, not to eat or drink at all. So I guess Bodhidharma must have done, you know, ordinary human being would do. So he must have eat or drink or go to the toilet, bathroom.
Okay. 大家也知道菩提达摩是中国禅宗的第一祖，所以我们叫做达摩祖师，平常我们都是称呼达摩祖师。
So, I'm sure everyone knows that Bodhidharma is the first patriarch of Chinese Chan sectors, Chan schools. So we always call him Bodhidharma, the first patriarch.
所以大家尊称东土第一代祖师达摩祖师。那宝智禅师，梁文宝忏里头的宝智禅师，还有富大寺大家也知道，因为国兴法师讲过他一篇石头记哈，合称梁朝的时候梁代三大寺，这个是他也是很有名的地方。
So, because Bodhidharma was the first patriarch for the Chan school, so people respectfully call him the first patriarch in this Oriental land. And he was ranked with Master Bao Zhi, Chan Master Bao Zhi and Master Fu together for the three masters for Liang Dynasty.
那菩提达摩他原来的名字叫做菩提多罗，那后来呢他到跟一位就是楞伽经的作者去请他为他的老师的时候呢，那他因为他修行很好，所以老师就要他改名，改名为菩提达摩。大概都知道菩提的意思啊，菩提原来的意思大家都知道吗？觉悟嘛哈。那达摩就是达嘛，就是法嘛，他就是把它改成菩提达摩，是他后来出家以后的名字。
So the name of Bodhidharma actually was not his original name. So the legend has it that he, after he came to China, he became the disciple of a master called Chonapolo. And because he was studying the Lakhavatara Sutra, then his master asked him to change his name to Bodhidharma. And Dharma in Chinese, when you translate to English, is you know, the Dharma part.
那相传呢、啊、他也是易经经的撰写者，那这个都是相传。大家也都知道菩提达摩很多传奇的故事哈。
So it is also said that Bodhidharma actually is also the creator of the muscle change classic.So, and he has quite a lot of legends about him.
那今天也会跟大家提啊，我看时间啊，因为不习惯一边讲中文一边翻译啊，我看看时间大概多少，有的比较传奇的，大家也比较知道，可以看得到，可以跟大家分享一下啊。
So, I'll mention some of famous legends about him, but I'm not sure about the time, so we'll see.
菩提达摩的身世啊，有传说很多。他的一个弟子叫昙灵啊，他说是他南天卓相士丸的第三个儿子，他的姓叫萨地利。
So there are quite a lot of legends about Bodhidharma's origins. According to one of his disciple, Tan Ling, he was the third son of a Brahma king.
在另外一本《洛阳伽蓝记》里面呢，说他是波斯人啊，是西域的波斯人，所以这个就跟就已经有两个不一样的地方。
So according to his disciple Tan Ling, he was a third son of Brahma king from the southern India. But according to another book called the record of the Buddhist monasteries of Luoyang, it indicate that Bodhidharma was a Persian actually from Central Asia. So you see their difference already.
那菩提达摩是从释迦牟尼佛传下来第二十八代的弟子。
And it is said that Bodhidharma was the 28th patriarch.From a line directly from Shikamoni Buddha.
那有个叫天竺禅宗的，他也是天竺禅宗第二十八代的祖师。
And there was a Chan school in the ancient India. So Bodhidharma was the 28th patriarch of that the Chan school in ancient India.
当你们去找资料的时候，菩提达摩啊，什么时候生都不晓得，可是他过世的时间知道。
So if you look up history or looking for other materials, you'll notice that people don't know when Bodhidharma was born, but there are different theories about when he died.
他要来中国以前，他问了他师父说。他以后这个法他要往哪里传，他师父说你到中国去呢不要往南边，他说为什么不要南边，因为说南边的人那个 他说好大喜功啊，所以说不要往南边传。
The legend has it that before Bodhidharma was about to go abroad and spread his teachings, he asked his master, where should he go? And his master said, you should go to China, but don't go to the southern part, because the king there has quite the vanity and is unable to understand the essence of Buddha Dharma.
所以他在西元470年到478年这中间呢，就那时候是南北朝的时候，他就到了搭海，他是走海的，到了广州那边，他们那时候古代叫南越，其实大概就是广州，现在的广州。
So during the year of 470 to 478, Bodhidharma arrived on the southern part of China, which is Guangzhou nowadays, by sea.
Okay, 所以现在假如去广州的话呢，还可以看得到这个地方啊。那另外呢，那时候他刚刚到的时候呢，也有个寺院，现在叫华林寺，最早的名字叫西来庵呢。所以现在假如想要去广州，还是可以看到菩提达摩原来来的地方。
So if you go to visit Guangzhou, you will still see some places reference to Bodhidharma. For example, there's a thousand year old temple called Hualin Temple. Its original name was the Xilai An, which means from the west.
菩提达摩来到中国以后呢，他请求变为就是楞伽经的著作的叫求那帕陀罗的弟子。
So after Bodhidharma arrived in China, he became the disciple of the 求那婆陀罗。
那菩提达摩在中国的期间啊，他传的经就是楞伽经，那《楞伽经》是唯识很重要的一部经典。
So during Bodhidharma's time in China, he was teaching the Lakhavatara Sutra. This is an important sutra of the Yogacara school.
那他也一般对于《般若经》《维摩诘经》都会传授。
And he also emphasized on the Prajna Sutra and Vimalakirti Sutra.
他主要的是因为他刚刚来的时候，虽然南边的皇帝很好大喜功啊，可是他来的因缘是从广州，就是中国的南边，所以他在那边也住了一阵子，大概受那边的影响，所以他讲经为了适合那边就是中国人的思想，所以他大概就传这像般若经啊、维摩诘经也蛮多的。
So although Bodhidharma's Indian teacher already warned him about the southern, the king in the south part, has vanity, was unable to understand the Dharma, but the cosmic conditions had led him arrived the southern part of China by sea. So he lived there for a while and was probably influenced by the southern Chinese culture as well. So he chose to teach Pajra Sutra and Vimalakirti Sutra.
那大家也知道，他跟梁武帝的对谈，他碰到梁武帝的时候，梁武帝觉得他做了很大的功德，又建庙又供养，他就觉得他自己真的好大喜功哈，他就觉得很棒。那可是菩提达摩就说你一点功德都没有。那主要他们两个人的是理念不一样。就是梁武帝呢，他是追求自我解脱的，那达摩呢，他是觉得要普度众生的， 所以有很多东西没有所谓功德，就是做就好。
So, I believe people have heard the famous Bodhidharma's famous dialogue with Emperor Liang. So Emperor Liang has vanity because he has done quite a lot for spreading Buddhism, and he built a lot of temples. So he thought he had built a lot of merits. But when he asked Bodhidharma how much merit that he already had, Bodhidharma said none. And so the emperor was quite shocked. But actually, the difference between the two is that Emperor Liang was seeking personal liberation instead of delivering whole sentient beings, while Bodhidharma was aiming to deliver all sentient beings. So that was their difference.
所以呢，他就离开了，那个是南京嘛，就离开了南京，去到嵩山，就是少林寺的嵩山，应该是河南那边。那这时候有一个很有名的叫一苇渡江，就是说他到了河边的时候，那个河边他走不过去，哎，都看看都没有人，可是突然就出现一个人，他上面有很多芦苇，他就拿了一根芦苇一点，他就可以过。那这个又跟慧可还没有出家以前叫神光法师。
So because Bodhidharma and Emperor Liang differ on what Buddhism is really about, Bodhidharma decided to leave Nanjing, which was the capital of Emperor Liang at that time, and he decided to leave Nanjing for Mountain Song. And there was another legend, famous legend about his departure, that he used a reed to cross the river.
那时候神光讲经的时候，很多人听啊，是一圈一圈的。那菩提达摩也在那边听，他有的时候讲的对，他就点点头；讲不对就摇头。那神光就觉得很奇怪，可是菩提达摩听他就离开了，因为他大概是觉得，他要继续往。他要走的地方走。那后来人家跟他讲说菩提达摩很厉害啊，所以他就追过来，他也是追到那个河边的时候，他看菩提达摩拿一根芦就可以过了，他就是从那个老人那边就把一把芦就抢过来，一放到河里面就沉下去了，他走不过去，他就觉得很奇怪。
So, the legend about, using one reed to cross river actually also connects to, Bodhidharma's later disciple, Hui Ke. So during that time, Hui Ke was still named, Shen Guang. He was a pretty famous monk during that time. There are a lot of people attend his teachings. And so, Bodhidharma went as well, and he would nod when he agrees what Shen Guang was saying, and he would shake his head when he disagrees. So eventually Bodhidharma left. Probably he noticed there's some flaws in Shen Guang's lecture talking. And then someone told Shen Guang, said, "Well, Bodhidharma was quite someone. You should probably learn from him." So Shen Guang heard, and he wanted to chase Bodhidharma because Bodhidharma already left. So then he chased him until the riverbank, and he saw Bodhidharma use the reed to cross the river. He wanted to do the same. So he went to there's a person with a bunch of reeds. So he just took a bundle and dropped on the river. But unlike what it appeared to Bodhidharma, the reeds all sank to the river. So he couldn't cross the river like what Bodhidharma did.
那他就回头问那个老人说，为什么？他说因为Bodhidharma他是会化芦苇作为神奇，可是你是把我这边从抢过去的，就是两个人的心态完全不一样。那那时候的神光再回头的时候，那个老人也不见了， 所以这个也是蛮神奇的啊。
So the legend had it, so when Bodhidharma wanted to cross the river, he asked the person who had those weeds whether he could get one, and that person permitted and consented to that. While when Shen Guang wanted, because he was in a rush, so he basically just took a bunch without asking, and when he couldn't do it, he asked the person who had the weeds, say, why didn't it work for me? And the person said, well, because Bodhidharma asked and he could use the right causes and conditions to make it happen. Well, you just basically robbed me without asking. So the attitude and circumstances are quite different. That's why it wasn't working for you. So Shen Guang was quite frustrated at the time. And the next moment, that person with weeds also disappeared. So that was quite mysterious.
那面壁的那件事情，就是达摩，因为他觉得他讲的法，他传的禅法，好像跟大家都不大相应啊，所以他就自己用功。那时候他已经到嵩山，就是少林寺，所以他是少林寺的，也是他们的第一代的，所以啊。开山祖，哎。
So after Bodhidharma arrived, Mountain Song, there was a temple there, but he felt it wasn't the right timing to teach and spread his teachings. So he went into a cave and meditated facing a wall for 9 years.
那所以他的主要的徒弟就刚刚讲的慧可。还有刚刚也提到的谭林，说他的讲他原来的名字是什么啊？还有一个叫道玉的比较少听到啊。
So the main disciples of Bodhidharma are Hui Ke and Tan Lin and also 道玉。道玉 is less mentioned.
那在《续高僧传》啊及《楞伽师之记》里面啊。都没有看到菩提达摩跟梁武帝对谈的。
So,
记载。
So according to the history of master's disciples, of the Lavakara Sutra and the stories of high masters, both book didn't mention the dialogue between Bodhidharma and Emperor Liang.
那胡适大家都知道是谁吧哈，他有两篇文章里头也提到说续高僧传，那个是道宣禅师写的，提到他说为什么他们两个没有碰面，主要的是达摩他来到南宋的时候，在刘宋灭亡以前来，那时候梁朝都还没有成立，他就根据这边来推断根本他们两个是没有碰面的。
So, 胡适, I'm sure people are familiar with him. He's a famous scholar. So he once wrote two articles and tried to explain why those two historic books didn't mention the famous dialogue between Emperor Liang and Bodhidharma. He basically believed that Bodhidharma arrived before Emperor Liang was even established. So he probably arrived in China during the year of 479. So there's no chance that Bodhidharma could actually meet Emperor Liang.
那他也是禅宗的第一祖啊。他在达摩的血脉论里头有提啊。无本来此土啊。传法救迷情，一花开五叶，结果自然成。
So Bodhidharma is also considered the first patriarch of Chinese Chan school. And there was some liturgy that says that I came to this land and tried to spread Dharma to help deluded sentient beings. And one flower will have five petals and it all leads to the fruit.
所以禅宗啊，从六祖慧能以后呢，有43位成道的弟子。
So, it seems to predict that after the six patriarchs Hui Neng, there will be there actually are 43 disciples who achieved the way and will eventually have 5 sectors on the Chan School.
那慧可断臂的故事啊，大概都知道，他在雪地的时候，他要达摩祖师做他的老师。那达摩祖师那时候大概是面壁吧，他说请不要吵我哈。那后来呢他为了表示他的诚心诚意，他就把他手割断了哈，这个是一个说法。
So another legend I would like to mention is the famous one about Hui Ke offering his arms to Bodhidharma. So the story says during Bodhidharma was facing the wall during his meditation, Hui Ke would like to, you know, become his disciples. So he was outside the cave and for many days, and initially Bodhidharma didn't want to teach him, and to show his sincerity, Hui Ke cut off his arms to show his sincerity.
达摩没有说不想要教他了，只不过说不知道他的那个求法的心有多强。那他为了表示他求法心强啊，他觉得他手可以断，可以断臂。
So the reason Bodhidharma didn't teach him immediately was because he wasn't sure how serious Hui Ke was and how sincere he was. That's why Hui Ke cut off his arms to show that he's very sincere.
那在另外一个《唐高僧传》里头有提到慧可哈，他说其实哈，他是被贼砍了他的臂，那他以法来护心，那人家都不知道他的臂被砍了，他还是照常的。那有另外一个法师呢，他手臂被砍了以后呢，他就要慧可法师来服侍他。慧可法师说你要吃饭你自己去拿碗啊，类似这样。他就说他已经没有手臂了，那时候他才讲，他说我也没有手臂。那位叫林法师呢，他就觉得慧可真的精神很了不起啊。
So that's one legend about how Hui Ke lost his arms. There's another story about how Hui Ke lost his arm. So actually he was robbed and his arm was cut off by a group of villains again probably. But it didn't affect him actually. He was continued to go on his life as normal. He practiced Bodhidharma to alleviate his sufferings. And that tragedy happened to another monk, but that monk couldn't take it very well, and he need other people to basically take care of him. So when that monk is called Master Ling, so that master want Hui Ke to get a bow for him to take care of him. And then Hui Ke said, well, you could do it yourself. And that master got really mad and said, well, how could I take care of myself? I already lost an arm. And then Hui Ke said, well, I don't have an arm either. And then that master suddenly realized how what a great practitioner Hui Ke is.
那达摩祖师把法传给慧可的时候，他是传了楞伽经的四卷。那慧可就说，诶，我们中国传法的时候都有袈裟哈，那为什么没有？他说我们印度没有，可是你假如觉得袈裟对你们来讲是有帮忙，所以他真正传法给慧可的时候是有袈裟。所以在禅宗的时候传法的时候，袈裟也是其中传法的一个物品吧。
So Hui Ke is the first disciple of Bodhidharma, and Bodhidharma taught him 4 volumes of the Lavakavara Sutra. And during that time, when Bodhidharma did the transmission, Hui Ke asked, did they also offer a robe, a special robe? Bodhidharma said, no, people don't do that formality in India. But if you think it's helpful in China, we will do it. That's why Hui Ke also got a special robe from Bodhidharma.
在这个过程当中，有很多人是会嫉妒菩提达摩，所以他有六次被下毒。那其实每一次下毒他都知道，他的因为他应该是已经练了，有一些神通的吧。那后来他也是觉得他已经有慧可这个弟子了，他觉得他可以走了，所以他那时候他就跟人家讲说他要离开了，
So, during Bodhidharma's time in China, a lot of people got jealous of him, so they tried to poison him several times. And because Bodhidharma already had supernatural abilities, so he wasn't affected by those poisons. But eventually he felt that he already had Hui Ke, this great disciple. It's time for him to go. So he eventually died.
所以西元535年的时候他就入灭，就是他已经圆寂了，就过世了。可是呢，在北魏有一个就是官员呢，叫做宋云呢，他有一次在秦陵的附近的时候，他就碰到一个人拿了一只鞋子跟他讲说，你国王就在今天会过世啊，那现在很乱了，你赶快回去啊。他那个宋林就说啊，我国家没什么事啊。他就问他说，那大师你要到什么地方？他说我要回印度去。大师你的法传给谁了？他说我已经传给慧可了哈，慧可大师啊，他是我的传法人，我在中国差不多40年，他就传法人。那慧可回到中国了以后，他就跟他们讲，他说不会啊，他535年的时候他已经过世，怎么还有？
So, there's another legend about his passing, Bodhidharma's passing. So, Bodhidharma eventually passed during the year of, 535 years. But there's a ambassador, an official, government official of Northern Wei, at that time met, Bodhidharma in Chinese Parliament Mountain area. And when he met Bodhidharma, he had one shoes on his hand, and he said to Song Yun, that a government official said, well, there's a big problem in your country. Your king died today, and the country is quite chaotic. You should hurry up and go home. And Song Yun said, really? I didn't hear anything. I don't think so. And then Song Yun asked Bodhidharma, so master, where are you going? The master said, I'm going back to India. And then Song Yun asked, okay, so who did you transmit your Dharma to? And Bodhidharma said, I have been in China for 40 years. Hui Ke is my disciple that already got all my Dharma. Then Song Yun went back to his country and told Hui Ke, and Hui Ke said it's impossible because Bodhidharma already passed in the year 535.
也就是那一天他自己的国王也就是过世了哈，所以他觉得很神奇。那人家说假如是这样的话，代表菩提达摩没有走啊，那他们就把他棺木一打开，棺木什么都没有，只有一只血。那达摩手上拿一只这一只，那就很像真的故事哈。
So the day when Song Yun got back to his country was also the same day that his king died. So people find it's quite unbelievable. And then they went to Bodhidharma's tomb and opened it. There was only one shoe in it. Bodhidharma was his body was not there. And when Song Yun met Bodhidharma on that mountain, Bodhidharma had one shoe carried in his hand, so it's quite possible because the other shoe was left in his tomb.
所以到底菩提达摩到哪里去？因为他到中国来的时候，他已经说他是150岁了。走的时候，那时候他也说他是150岁。所以呢，所以没有人知道啊。就是说菩提达摩，这个就可以证明啊，菩提达摩他很多传奇。
So where on earth did Bodhidharma go? No one knows. And when he came to China, he said he is already 150 years old. But when he about to leave, he said he's still 150 years old. So no one knows where he's going and what happened.
这个都不重要啊，所以他的生是什么时候，只知道在中国的记载是535年的时候他是走，可是好像他又活过来了哈。
So although those are not important, people don't know when he was born, and people only, you know, their only records say that he died in the year 535, but you know, some other people saw him back live again, so no one knows what happened.
那我们现在开始跟大家介绍，就是菩提达摩大师啊，略辩大圣入道四行观，他没有直接讲二入四行。所谓二入啊，就是理入跟行入。那行入呢，就是四个行。那英文是一看就知道，很清楚哈。所以等于二入四行的四行就是四个方法。那理呢，就是一般我们讲的真如啊，菩提心啊，心不动，就是主要是讲这个。那在这个短短的几百个字里面哈，他把所有的佛法都涵盖在里头。这个就是我都很喜欢讲，就是很喜欢看啊，那个短短的，因为我觉得短的就像心经很好背哈，可里头的道理就很多一样。这个也是，可是它跟我们中国人的缘分啊，或者跟大众的缘没有那么好，所以大家听到的都不多。那我就趁这个机会跟大家介绍一下。
So now, we're going to turn to the two entrance and the four practices. I really like his teaching because it's quite short. It's quite short, but it captures all the essences of Buddha Dharma in a nutshell. But unfortunately, the cosmic conditions are not that great for Chinese people. That's why most people are not familiar with this teaching. I think the meanings are quite clear, based on the name in English. So two entrances, one entrance is by principle, the other entrance is by practice. The four practices, basically four methods that, Bodhidharma taught that how we should use, how can we practice.
那假如可以把这个方法用在日常生活上，其实所有的经都一样，我们自己回过来反省一下，我们真正的是不是把经里面论里面，好比我们要介绍的这个二入四行，真正有没有用到日常生活上。
So I think all the sutras lead to the same result. So if we really practice well, apply teachings into our daily life, we should get to the same place.
所以虽然字只有几百个，那我一行一行的跟大家介绍啊，请大家不要小看它啊，因为每一个字每一句都需要了解的透彻啊，这样的话我们会把它的道理常常放在心上来用啊。
So although this is quite a short verse, it only has a few hundred words, but don't think it's not that important. I will go line by line with you.
那这样的话，就是理跟行两个就是合在一起了。
So if you can apply this to your daily life, then you're really combining the principle and the practice all together.
好，我们从这边开始哈。夫入道多土啊，夫的话呢，就是我们中文的白话大概没有这样讲哈，文言文都是开头就是用这个字，它就是一种祈雨一个祈首。
So the first line, we'll talk about the first line of this teaching. Fu in Chinese, in classical Chinese, it means, you know, the starting word.
道呢，大家都知道，不是讲马路哈，是讲正道、解脱道、菩萨道，都有很多的管道，就像84000个法门，每一个法门都可以让我们开悟，让我们解脱的。
Another Chinese word in this line is 道。道has multiple meanings. One meaning is road, street, but we know here it doesn't mean road or street. It's metaphorically means different paths, different methods leading to the enlightenment.
因为它的法门太多，我们不可能也没有时间每一个法门都去了解。所以呢，我们在这个法门中呢，我们取它很简要的，它最重要的。所以呢，它有不出两个，一个就是理入，一个就是行入。
Because Buddhism has a lot of methods and dharma doors, so it's impossible to understand and master every one of them, but so that's why we need to try to get the gist of it and pick the most important ones. And if we put together and think about it, it all can conclude to two ways. One is the entrance by practice. One is entrance by principles.
那入就是入道入门。
And the Chinese word 入 means the entrance.
我们修行一定要有个入口处啊。
So when we practice, we have to seek a way to get into, have to find the entrance.
那这边的戒教的教呢，是教理。
And here, Chinese word 教 means the theories and all the classic teachings.
那悟中的中就是我们的心。
And the Chinese word 中 is the mind, refers to the mind.
那我们佛教的教理呢，经律论就是三藏，一切的大圣小圣显密的教法。
So the Buddhist theories referred here are sutras, vyanas, abhidharma that are contained in the Buddhist canons.
就是我们借这些的教理来悟我们的心。
So basically means we use all these classic teachings, canons to realize our mind.
那再来就是深信含同一真信这边。最重要就是说含生的意思是一切具有生命、有知觉、有痛痒的动物就叫做含生。
So moving to the next line here, 含生 means all sentient beings that have life and has consciousness and can feel pains.
那同一真性的意思就是说人都有所有的生命有知觉有痛痒的动物都具有佛性法性跟觉性。
So this line basically means all sentient beings that have lives, have consciousness and have the ability to feel pain or suffering have the Buddha nature.
那法性跟佛性它就是我们常常听到的也都是有空性的。
So the Buddha nature, the nature of all phenomena, they are all they are all referred to the emptiness.
那空性当中还有觉性。
And within the emptiness nature, there are also the nature of illumination.
所以有没有搞糊涂？没有觉性就叫做法性。
But if there's no illumination, the nature of illumination, then we call it the nature of all phenomenon.
所以不管有没有觉性的，都我们认为他们都是同一个真性。这个是如来的思想，也就是佛教很多的思想，是每个人不管是谁啊，我这边讲的人呢，英文就是 being 啊，都有佛性。
So that's you know, the fundamental Buddhist theory that all beings have Buddha nature.
那现在这边讲的身性，性有初性、正性、身性跟真性。
And here, 身性when it mentions to belief, there are different types of belief.
So
you have an initial belief and belief based on the right views or deeply belief.
就是见到自己的佛性啊，见到真如法性就属于真性。
Is that last one? 真性最后一个。
对。
Okay. So there are four types of beliefs. First is the initial belief.The second one is a belief based on the right views. The third one is the deep belief. And the last one is the true belief. So if you had a taste of enlightenment, you get to see your true nature, then that type of belief is a true belief.
因为我们常常都认为我们信啊，其实我们大概是还含有一点迷信，连初信都没有。
So we often say that, you know, we have faith in Buddha and Dharma and we believe it. That type of belief is even less degree than the initial belief because sometimes it's, we even have doubt. We even have doubts about it.
那在正信部分，这个就是我们在正知正见，一定要有正知见。正知见主要在佛教就是信因缘、信缘起，还有就是我们每个人都可以成佛。
So the second type of belief is a belief based on the right views. Basically, the right views that you have to believe the causes and conditions, the cause and effect, and that every being has Buddha nature.
那深信的时候就是在正信的时候你已经建立到有这个观念，深信的时候你自己就是去体验到这些都是真的。
And the third stage of the deep belief is developed on the first two stages, and during that stage you actually experience some of those beliefs that you believe your faith is, you actually experience thoseThat will produce a deep belief on your on Buddha Dharma.
真信呢，就是像我们开悟啊，是真正的大的解脱，就是有顺境逆境，你的心都不会动。
And when you get to the full stage, true belief, your mind is stable and unmoving.
所以我们自己可以反省一下，我们对佛法是正信呢？应该今天会来的，大概是至少觉得佛法对你还是有一些帮忙的嘛，哈。所以大概有一点初信了，哈。那正信的时候，就是看看你的那个佛法跟刚刚讲的三法印有没有相应啊？那深信呢？你是百分之一百的相信，那真信就是你真的都已经体验到，而且做得到。那有进来的时候，你心是不会动的。
So based on these four stages of belief, we could reflect on ourselves and see which stage are you in. are in the initial belief stage or the second stage belief based on the right views, or deep belief stage, or the last one, the true belief stage, where you your mind is very stable and moving.
所以真信是真正的有体验，而且很深的体验的才叫真信啊。就像我们在禅修的时候，刚刚开始大家比较熟悉，就是混乱的妄想很多的。那后来你用的方法以后，你就专心了。再来方法用得上的时候，你就有统一心了。那最后那个阶段，你再用功啊，不见得一定可以上，就是无心啊，它要因缘和合才可以上去的啊。
So, to get to the last stage, true belief is not easy because you have to have the experience of your beliefs. Most people meditate, they could easily get to the stage of unified their mind and body.But then the second stage, you can unify your body and the outside environment. But if you want to even go further to the stage of no self, that's not quite easy. It's based on right circumstances, right causes and conditions.
有时候也很简单啊，像例如慧能，他就听一句话，他就是大悟了。他有时候很简单，像反掌，可是就是代表说。你因缘不足的时候，你再怎么样的用功也没有办法。可是你不用功啊，你更没有办法。所以修行还是需要的。
But it could be easy too, just like six patriarch 慧能。He only heard one word, then he got enlightened. So what I try to say is, if the causes and conditions are right, then the person will get enlightened.
但是假如说你不用功，你更是不行。有很多人就说，既然这样的话，我就顺缘哦。
But if you don't practice hard enough, it will never happen.So you can't just say, oh, because my causing conditions are not ripened yet, so I don't need to work hard. That's not what I mean.
Okay. 我们再下一条啊。但是每个人既然都有，为什么我们不能够受用呢？就是因为跟释迦牟尼佛他在菩提树下他成道的时候，他看到的时候说，奇哉奇哉，一切众生都有如来智慧德相，就是因为妄想执着而不能够证得。
So moving to the next line, if we all have Buddha nature, why we can't utilize that Buddha nature? That was because our Buddha nature has been covered by our vexations and defilements, just like what Shakyamuni Buddha said under the Bodhi tree that how wonderful, all sentient beings have the same Buddha nature, but just because their vexations, delusions, they couldn't realize it.
烦恼妄想在这边的就是叫课程。
So, vexations, delusions, wandering thoughts are here referred as adventitious defilements.
客人就是我们的妄想，想东想西，患得患失，做不了主。
So, as adventitious defilements, the part of adventitious means it's like a guest. It's like a guest.Our wandering thoughts are like our guests because they come and go, but we couldn't be the master of our own.
我们打妄想就是用心在打妄想啊。那尘劳境界这个心啊，就是客。尘就是尘劳，因为心要生分别。
So having wandering thoughts, the wandering thoughts are generated by your mind. But those adventitious defilements are your mind as well, but they are just like guests because they come and they go.
这边讲啊，因为身心身分别啊，佛法也很重视平等啊，就是说，不管外面发生什么事情，我们心马上回在原点。可是我们不是，我们的心常常会被过去的历史牵着走。
So here, the important part is because our mind gives rise to discrimination.So ideally, you would like your mind could go back to the original point. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Your mind will be, affected by your history, your, tendency, your karma in the past.
好比我跟 Anderson 昨天吵了一架，今天他来的时候，我就怎么看他就是不顺眼。
For example, just like I had a fight with, Anderson and, now today I look at him, I don't feel comfortable.
那假如我们可以常常练习这个平等心的话，我都给他回到原点，那个是昨天的事，跟今天的他这个人其实是没有关系的。
But if we could practice going back to the original point and realize, what happened yesterday doesn't really affect what's going on right now. The person, you know, sitting in front of me is not the same as, you know, I had a fight with. So if we could do that, then we can achieve equality.
大家不知道有没有这经验哈？你假如说你不喜欢看的人，老远来你就避开了。那你假如对他没有什么好跟不好的话，你跟他擦身而过，等一下问你说那个人是谁，你说哎不记得。可是所以是不是佛法讲的那个平等很重要？其实你一看到那个人不喜欢的时候，你在你的八识田中就打了一个印，你说我看着就不喜欢，我要怎么样，我要做什么，我要避开他。
So I don't know if you have this experience is when you see someone that you don't like, walking toward you, you will try to avoid him, you will walk away. But if you could really practice Buddha Dhamma and really apply this non-discrimination mind, you wouldn't mind walking passing him. So when next time when someone asked who that person is, you just say, well, I don't know.
所以这个分别心啊，其实就应该讲佛法讲的平等心很重要，假如我们在平常可以拿起来用的话呢，回到家去用，公司里面去用，可能刚刚开始人家会觉得你大概脑筋有问题，我昨天才给你这个样子，为什么今天你对着我就没有，那他就没有好像反应啊，好像觉得很奇怪，可是事实上呢，你只要多练习这些的话，你针对事而不是针对一个人，这样的多练习以后，人家会觉得你的心是很安定的，不是很浮躁的。
So, what I want to say is the equanimity, the non-discrimination mind is very important. And if you can apply that in your workplace or in your family,people will notice that no matter what happened in the past, you at the right moment you just start fresh, and people will start realize your mind is very calm and stable.
这个跟心经里头有提啊，我们的眼耳鼻舌身意，盘圆外面的境界，色声香味触法，那又舍不得丢。那就是慢慢慢慢的心中就会起了烦恼，时间一久了呢就会中毒了，渐渐的眼睛也不是看到真的现象，耳朵也不是听到真的现象，所以我们在修行的时候，假如能够明白课程，依照这个方式常常来反省来练习的话呢，我们真的我们的心是可以开的。
So, this actually is mentioned in the Heart Sutra as well. Our, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, are constantly attaching to the outside environment, attached to the sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and eventually you accumulate a lot of attachments and you don't want to let it go, then eventually it all becomes vexations and your mind is quite poisoned. And eventually you couldn't really see what you see and hear what really you hear.
这就是为什么我们 众生虽然有真性啊，刚刚前面讲的真性，可是为什么不能够得到受用的原因就是在这边，因为我们受外境的影响。
That's why, even though all sentient being has the Buddha nature, they couldn't utilize that Buddha nature because it's covered by all kinds of defilements.
所以我们就一直在这个 六道轮回里面一直转一直转就跑不出去啊。
That's why we're all stuck by the six realms and recycled within this six realms and couldn't get out of it.
那在下一行的时候呢，假如我们能够舍弃妄想回归到我们的真性的话，我们可以除掉这个课程妄想啊，就可以回到我们原来自己的法身，就清净的法身啊，就是回来我们本来就有的东西。
So, going to the next line, it basically says if we could abandon delusion and return to the then we can return to the reality.
那下一个就是你啊，就是你把心收回来，固定在一个地方不动。那住呢就是安住，就是你把心放在一个地方，可是你就是要保持在佛教我们常常讲总持啊，总持就是把心安在那个位置上不动。
So here the Chinese word says you should have your mind you should withdraw your mind back and hold on to one thing.
这个就是我们所谓讲的闭关，住闭关。
And by doing that, you let your mind become very stable, just like a wall.
所以闭呢，就是你的心念呢，是像墙壁一样不动，只有这一念，没有第二念。
So the method of 闭关，闭。The Chinese word "bi" means the wall, but at the same time, it also refers to the meditator's mind is stable, unmoving. You only have one thought, and you don't have the next thought.
观大家都很知道啊，观照很注意，很觉观，就是心里明明白白。
The word "观" here means observation, pay attention to, and be aware of.
还有就是 contemplation,
contemplation.、嗯、
所以刚刚跟大家讲过打坐你面壁不是你面对的墙就叫闭关啊，其实是心不动才是叫闭关。
So just like I mentioned, 闭关 doesn't mean that you just face a wall. It means you use the method, you actually contemplating and your mind is moving like a wall.
下一个无自无他呢，就是刚刚也特别提到不生分别，没有自己也没有对方。
And the meaning of 无自无他 basically means do not give rise to the discrimination mind, so you do not distinguish yourself or others.
那所以有了自己就有金刚经里头讲的我相众生相啊，有了我相就有了人相，有人有我妄想分别就会产生了。
Because once you give rise to the concept or idea of I, then you will have at the same time you will give rise to the idea of other peoplethen you will have I, other people, and all kinds of delusional thoughts will arise.
所以无自无他呢，就是全部都放下，清 的人也好，跟你有冤的人也好，爱憎是非都好，就是不要放在心上，给他放下，就是不动念。
So no self, no others here means let go, put down everything, put down people you like, put down people you don't like, put down your attachment, aversion, or right and wrong, everything.
这样的话，凡圣等一，就是凡跟圣其实是同一个。
So if you could do that, then ordinary sentient beings are just like the saints.
另外往下啊，坚住不移呢，只有这一念，没有第二念，起了第二念就叫移。
So the second line talks about holding on to that thought and don't move to the next one. So if you have the second thought arises, then your mind already moved.
所以心一打妄念，一打一动念的时候，就叫移。
So once your mind gives, once you there's delusional thoughts, then your mind already moved.
所以呢，你打坐的时候呢，想到贪嗔痴，你就移到哪里？三途，移到三恶道去。
So when you meditate, if there were thoughts of greed, hatred, and ignorance.Come up, then where are you going? Your mind is moving to the three evil paths.
所以很多人说他不知道真的有没有六道啊。其实我们平常就在六道里面转来转去。所以想到五戒，你就移到什么人道。
So some people said they are not sure about whether the six realms exist. Well, if your mind is thinking about greed, hatred,related to great hatred and ignorance, then you're indeed in the three evil paths. And if you give rise to the five precepts, then your mind move to the human realm.
那想到十善呢，就移到天道了。
And then when your mind give rise to the 10 good deeds, and then your mind move to the heaven realm.
那这边提到的坚住不移，就是你的心不动，可是你的心放在哪里呢？菩提心放到解脱套，这样就是净土了。
So here when it says hold on to the mind, do not move. Your mind, that mind is a Bodhi mind. That is a liberation. That is a pure land.
那下一句是说文教呢？文教就是经论、诵经、持咒，这些都是文教。
And here teachings refers to all kinds of teachings or methods like chanting sutras or mantras.
那你在打坐的时候，或者你在你的脑子呢，想空、想假、想中，这个也是文教。
And also when youwhen you're thinking about emptiness or thinking about the middle way, that all belongs to the teaching part.
所以正念心不动啊，它就是不落入文字，不落入言语，也不起心动念，这就是不随文教。
So, do not contemplate teachings, means,Your mind should be unmoving, should be stable. Do not think about words, languages, or all kinds of teachings or chantings. Your mind should not give rise to that type of thoughts.
这个很像我们在打气的时候，师父常常给我们练习直观。当你做直观的时候，你看到的是花，可是你不要给它一个名称，说那个是花。你想到花的时候，你就要放掉，就是这样舍的练习。
So this is very, this is similar to the method we often teach in longer retreats that it's called direct contemplation. For example, if you look at a flower, you just look at it. You don't give rise to the word flower.
那也不要有符号。
And also you do not chant in your own mind, or you don't give rise to the Buddha's name, etc.
所以假如你的心跟这个相符的时候，没有下一个无有分别，即然无为，这个就是理入。
So if your mind functions like this and in accordance with this principle, and then this is the entrance by principle.
那它的理是什么呢？菩提之理、涅槃之理、真如实际、真如法身之理，就是一般我们讲的佛性、空性。
So what does the principle mean? The principle means the principle of Bodhi, the reality of Bodhi, the principle of Bodhi, the principle of Nirvana, and the true reality, the true Buddha Dhamma.
这个理没有跟我们刚刚讲这不动跟这个完全相应，没有一点点的分别。
So you have to make sure your mind is in accordance with this principle. There's no difference. There's no distinction.
你当你的一念不生的时候，可以找到分别吗？
So when your mind is so stable that do not give rise to thought, can you find there's discrimination?
在六祖坛经的时候，六祖大师对于慧明法师说，不思善，不思恶，正于末时，即是明上座本来面目。
So it's just like the sixth patriarch Hui Neng said to Hui Ming, Master Hui Ming said, when you do not think about goodness, when you do not think about evils, that drop everything at the right moment, that is your original face.
这边有提到即然啊，即是不动，然是了了分明。
So here silence refers to means unmoving, stable.
不但不动，还要了了分明。
And the Chinese word 然 means you're clearly aware of everything, illuminating everything. So not only your mind should be very stable, at the same time it should be illuminating and aware of everything.
这个才叫做无为。
That is a true non-doing, not doing anything.
大家听到这边有没有觉得很像在讲默照啊？默就是不动嘛，照就是清清楚楚。
So do you feel it's very similar to silent illumination method? So here,unmoving really is the silent part, and be clearly aware of everything, knowing everything is a part of illumination.
假如我们这些都可以做到的话，我们就叫做理入。
So if you can achieve everything I just said, that is the entrance by principle.
所以我们有两个入，理入就是介绍到这边。
So this is one of the two entrances, the entrance by principle.
所以理入跟行入的两个的关系是这个样子的。行入呢是要有理入，就是理入我们把它当作正知见的指导，就行入要有理入的指导，要正知见的指导。
So that's it about the entrance by principles and the relationship between the entrance by practice and entrance by principles is that the entrance by practice needs to be guided by the entrance of principles.
理入呢要有行入的真实实践。
And the entrance by principles need to be carried out in the entrance by practice.
假如对刚刚的解释的道理不知道不相信的话呢，我们要入道是不大可能的事情。
And if you do not, if you don't know the principles, if you don't believe those principles, it's very hard to find entrance.
你不仅仅它的入口不知道，你连它的方向你都摸不到。
Not only could you find the entrance, you couldn't even find the right direction.
我们大家假如明白这个道理的时候，还要加上100%的相信。
So, when you say you understand this principle, you understand this theory, you also need 100% faith in it.
那在拿到日常生活运用的时候，要不分别，就是尽量平等，平等。
And when you practice the principle in daily life, you need to make sure you do not give rise to discriminations.
这个就是无上的深妙禅，很深很妙的禅，这就是理入。
This is a sublime, profound and subtle chan. This is the entrance by principle.
所以理入一般来讲，要靠行入去理解。那行入的执行呢，又要靠理入去指导。
So that's why we say entrance by principles need to be carried out by the entrance of by practice. But at the same time, entrance of practices need to be guided by the entrance of principles.
那做一个就是你要到像我现在想要到曼哈顿去，我不知道怎么去，我就上网去找那个 Google Map。我看了 Google Map， 我知道怎么做哈。可是我假如不去搭开车去，或者坐 subway 去，或者坐 bus 的话，我永远到不了 Manhattan。
So, for example, just like I want to go to Manhattan, and then I will first search on the Google Map and see how can I get there. But if I don't take subway, take a bus or drive, I will never ever get to Manhattan.
所以呢，那个 map 就是一个理啊。那你去坐那个车子去执行，那个就是行。
So the Google Map, the information provided by Google Map is like the principles, and the actual vehicles that you take is like the practice that you take.
所以在下面一个啊，这个就是理入，理入讲到这边啊，下面讲是。行啊，就是行入有四个。
So that's it for the two entrances of the first entrance is the entrance by practice. Now we're going to talk about the entrance by practice, which is which includes four practices.
第一个是叫理入 ，entrance of a principle. Yeah. Okay, 好，那这个。就是在事上面用功，刚刚我讲的时候，你就要去执行面，你怎么样去做呢？它就叫做行。
Right, the, so, we just talked about the entrance by principle. Now we're going to talk about, how to do it, how to carry out in the practice. So this is the entrance by practice.
那达摩祖师他就是把他84000个法门，他就把它涵盖在这四个行里面。
So Bodhidharma basically uses four practice to conclude all 840,000 Dharma doors.
那第一个报冤行，第二个随缘行，第三个无所求行，第四个乘法行。
So the first one is the first practice is to accept karmic retributions, and the second practice is to adapt to conditions, and the third practice is non-seeking, and the last one is a union with all phenomena.
那因为时间的关系呢，四行的后面的文章呢，就下个八月三号再讲。下礼拜是应该是国行法师。
Given the time, we'll talk about these four practices next time. The next Sunday will be a lecture given by Master Guo Xing, and I will resume after that.
八月三号跟八月十号两次。
So it will be August 3rd and August 10th.
那大概估算一下时间，大概师父的那篇文章大概下礼拜跟大家分享，或者第三个礼拜跟大家分享怎么样退魔的办法。
So it looks like I'm going to share with you about 师父 's article on how to deal with the demonic stage next time.
Next time of the following week, August 10th. Okay. Any questions? 任何有没有什么问题？啊Robert,
is the entrance, the two entrances, is it, do you need a taste to, is it just an attitude, the principles, is it to know them and to enter that way? Do you need a taste of the principles experientially, or the practice, is it just an attitude, I'm going to practice, and that's, those are your entrances? Mm. Like, do you need insight, or is it just go down, just do that? Just learn the principles and practice, so those are two entrances, and you've entered. Or do you need a taste? You got to enter that way and really get a taste to actually be entered into something.
那可是有的人他根本就不知道什么叫芒果，可是他已经吃到嘴巴了。像我们的六祖慧能，他根本就没有听经，可是他就听到一句话。可是我们把我们的就是生命不是言在只有这一世啊，往上往下来讲的话，事实上他一定以前已经知道什么是芒果，所以这一世呢他就有那个因缘吃到芒果，他就有尝到那个梨。
So it's just like the fruit mango. Let's say you have never tasted. So the first thing is to get to know more about that fruit that you have never tasted. But it happens to someone that they don't even know what it is, but they already tasted. So just like the sixth patriarch Hui Nen, before he really understand what's going on, he already enlightened. So it's just like he already tasted the mango, then he had all the teachings, he realized, oh, what it is really about. But for most of us, we have to learn the theories first before we can even taste it. So, but I still believe, for sixth patriarch Hui Nen, even though from his personal story, it sounds like he tasted the fruit before he really understand it. But during his previous lifetimes, he must have already learned some theories. So that's what I think.
这个，那最重要的是啊，我们现在假如都还没有感觉到一些佛法的好处 ，Robert 已经学佛多久了
？So how many years have you been learning practicing Buddha Dhamma？
OK， 那你自己有没有尝过佛法的好处
？So have you benefited from practicing？
OK， 那个就是 test。
Oh, so if you have already benefited from practicing Buddha Dhamma, that's your taste of.
因为理是我们这边在讲的，可事实上你在用，你在让你的烦恼减少，就是你的理跟行已经都是同时在了解到你也在做了。
So principle is what we are talking today, but the practice is actually what you apply the principle and then you benefit from it. So if you already benefit from these teachings, then you're already, you know, combining the principle and practice together. You're kind of already entered.
就是最重要问自己，你有没有烦恼越来越少？还是你因为学了佛以后烦恼更多？
So the right question or the most important question to ask yourself is, have you had more vexations after you practice or you have less vexations after practice?
还有另外就是说，你以前根本不知道你有烦恼，你觉得日子很开心，可事实上你烦恼一大堆。因为就是在烦恼堆里面，现在至少你已经知道你有烦恼，那你要怎么样处理你这个烦恼，怎么样让你跳出这个烦恼，这个也是一个成长，也是一个经验。
So another, you know, another type of examination is before you don't even know that you have vexations, you just feel like you're happy and content, everything's good, but then.You practice, you hear the Dharma, and you start to realize how many vexations you have. And then you really seriously about thinking about how to get out of all these vexations.
我没有回答你的问题。
Did my answer your questions?
好，因为 OK, thank you.Robert, 我跟他认识很久啊，他对我客气一点，他没有来踢馆。
So Robert has known me for quite a while, and he's been very gentle with me.
你踢馆会不会讲？
Challenge. Yeah. So he's not challenge me on purpose.
Okay.啊，因为时间的关系，我们就到这边为止。谢谢大家。
That's it for today. Time is up. Thank you for everyone.